This is Saturday Bible Sound Class, June 15th, 2024. We're discussing Yoga Gita, Chapter 35, the 10th Canto. It's called Yoga Gita because there's two pairs of verses, there's a pair of verses spoken by two different gopis. Different times of day, different places, different Vrindavan. So, put this up there. But before we start discussing where we just, last week we started Yoga Gita, we did verse 2 and 3. The gopis are again glorifying Krishna's flute. So you may see some parallel here between this chapter and what other chapter? Yoga Gita. The Acharyas compare these two chapters. 10th Canto, Chapter 31, Vinaya Gita, Chapter 35, Yoga Gita. So what are the similarities and differences? So I have some things written down, I have some notes written down. And both these chapters, chapter 21, Vinaya Gita and Yoga Gita, are glorifying, the gopis are glorifying Krishna's flute and the effects on other entities. Chapter 21 describes Purvan Leela. What time is Purvan Leela?
8:24.
Okay. And chapter 35 describes what time?
Aparandila.
What time is that?
3:36 PM,
yeah. And chapter 21, what season is it? Shari to autumn season. What about chapter 35? It's hot season. And the proof is in verse 13 and 25. Let's look at verse 13 and 25. Chapter 35. What does it say? God showers flowers, shade from the sun. So that's shade from the sun. What does it mean? Let's repeat the question. Vinaya Gita is when?
Autumn season.
And so Yoga Gita is when? Now. Summertime. Hot season. And also verse 24. Let's look at verse 24. So these are things you should look out for. What are those questions of annotation? Who, what, when, where, why, how? What season is it? So what's 24 say?
From the heat of the day, last night.
The heat of the day. Tapam. Tapam means burning your head off.
Just like now.
Like that. Your head's on fire. Your eyeballs are cooking. eyeballs, you can ride your bicycle on a hot day like this, feels like somebody's sanding your eyeballs with sandpaper. That's what I believe my heart is like. That's why I was going to wear sunglasses, put a camera up here. So that's an interesting point of comparison. What else we have here? The last, the result of the Vrajagopis, what has happened in chapter, compared to chapter 21 and 20, 30, 35, what is the result of the Gopis speaking about Krishna and the flute playing? In chapter 21, the last verse of the Vinaya Gita, verse 20, it says, the Gopis became Kriyas Tanmayatam Yayu. Kriyas Tanmayatam Yayu. By speaking about Krishna the flute, the Vrajagopis attained oneness absorbed in Krishna's Leela. So became one. But the last verse of chapter 35 is verse 26. It says the Gopis felt a festival in their minds and hearts by glorifying Krishna. Yogi produced a festival, mental festival, heart festival. But in Vinayogi, they produced oneness with Krishna's Leela. Now what's the difference? Sounds like play on words. But this is in Charlie's comments that said this. It is showing you. Chapter 21, it appears to be a higher class of gopis are speaking. They're more intimate and confidentially close to Krishna, as seen in the reactions that they experience while describing Krishna's flute. In other words, your homework is you have to read chapter 21 tonight, over next, till next week, read Vinaya Gita and compare it to chapter 35. Which gopis are speaking, which chapter, which class of gopis is higher, what is the reaction of the gopis? This is homework. Vinaya Gita versus Yoga Gita. So what Acharya is saying, it's a higher class, more intimate, confidential, gopis are closer to Krishna, Vinaya Gita, as seen the reactions, the experience while describing. The Krishna, the flute, the forest, the creature, and separation. And also, who spoke Vinaya Gita? One verse on Vinaya Gita, who spoke it? Verse 18. Radharani. What she say? Haridaswarya. Who is that? Diraj Dharanki, greatest Haridas. There's a Haridas over there also.
Yeah.
Sleeping on the other friend. Doing his seva. That's what they do, you know. They say you get paid for it. You have to work, you go to work, you get paid. He sleeps, he gets half your pay. Good deal. Come out here and sleep, you're gonna get me. Hey, there's all that. And Vinaya Gita, while the gopis are speaking, they become agitated by lust. They start embracing each other because of that. And madness or Sringa Ras, they even start calling each other Amba, verse 14. This is Vinaya Gita. Vinaya Gita chapter 4, you come out to say, I mean, verse number 4, chapter 21, you come out to say by thus. And because they start racing each other because of that madness of Shringarati, verse 5, they call each other Amba, which is a madness of intimacy, verse 20. These proves that these are most exalted Vrajagopis, become one with the Leelas that are describing. Krishna Tadmayatam. Verse 7 describes the kumkum from the breast that Srimati Radharani, when Krishna touched her feet. Now, I'm doing your homework for you. In chapter 35, Yuga Gita, in contrast, the Vrajagopis here seem to be less close and less intimate with Krishna. So you have to read it to find out the difference. How do you prove that they're less close and less intimate? They're more service-oriented, they're more dasyarati. They're like, well, give me an example of service-oriented Sakis and Madhurati. Give me names. Who? Vrinda Devi, that's one. Dhanishtha, that's two. Who? Kundalata, that's three. That's all for now. What is their rati? They have more love for Krishna or Radharani?
Krishna.
What's it called?
Krishna
Sneha Adhika. Krishna Sneha Adhika. What does that mean?
They have more love for Krishna.
Extra, additional. Adhika means extra, additional. Love for Krishna more than Radharani. Who are they?
Vrindadevi, Dhanishtha, Kundalata.
Okay. These Vrajagopis describe that their minds ran after Krishna. They felt sadness and absence. Yet after describing Krishna's flute playing and forest leelas, Uttara Gosha, especially. These gopis felt great festival joy in their mind and heart. These Vrajagopis in chapter 35 also spoke verses while in the association of Mother Yashoda, verse 15 and 20. Chapter 35, look at verse 15 and 20. See a shadow there? Huh? Yeah, the shadow's right there. About 20. What does it say? Oh, sinless Yashoda. Anaga. Anaga means no sin. Well, there you go. Pretty cool, huh? But in Vidya Gita, is any gopi speaking near your Yashoda? No.
One verse will come.
Huh?
In Gopi Gita?
Yeah, Gopi Gita. No, Vidya Gita, I'm sorry. We're comparing chapter 21 and 35. There's no mention about Yashoda and where? Very good. Very good. Seems clear to me, says M.S. that by reading BBT Look, all the Tikas, Rajagopis of Vayogit, are far more intimate, confidential, and exalted than the Gopis in chapter 35. So you guys got to fight and figure it out. See if you agree with me or disagree. Present your arguments, your proto function next Saturday. Okay, let's start the class now. All right. Cuckoo, Coil. Hello, Coil. They always come around when it's super hot. Just to make fun of you. You're like, oh, ha, ha, ha. They come around and laugh at you. You guys are suffering, ha. Okay. What can we say? Verse 4 and 5, Yoga Gita. Ata chitram avala shinutedam. Ara sa ursi stira vidyu. Nandasunaraya marta jananam. Narada yari kujita venu. Vrindasho braja vrisha vriga gavo. Venu vadya rita cheta sarat. Tata dasya kavala chita karna. Nidrita likita chichami vasan. Okay. Read the translation.
Oh, girl.
Our friend. Hi, girl. Oh, girls, that's Saki.
Jai Krishna.
Yeah.
This son of Nanda who gives joy to the distressed bears steady lightning on his chest and has a smile like a jewel necklace. Now please hear something wonderful. When he vibrates his flute, Rajas, bulls, deer and cows standing in groups at a great distance are all captivated by the sound and they stop chewing the food in their mouths and cock their ears. Stunned, they appear as if asleep or like figures in a painting.
Okay. That's called transfixed. R-E-C-E-I-V-E. She gets an F for her spelling. English spelling is terrible. Receive, R-E-C-I-V-E. Oh, he's correct, sir. She knows Italian, though. That's pretty good. That's the main thing. Okay. So, let's see what else we have. So it's very upbeat, Gopis are speaking very upbeat here. Just simply giving the facts, as it is. Krishna's like this, like that. There's no much emotions here. This is very external description of Krishna, not aching and heartache or anxiety or kiss me, embrace me. You know, he's like this, like that. Just like somebody. How do you describe something? Oh, they're this tall, they wear glasses and this and that. It's very external. He gives joy to the distressed. He has, necklace and plays the flute, deers and cows and bulls, everybody jumps around. Okay, good. Where is that? It's pretty flat. Not too a spark, no sparks there. It's like, do they love the guy or what? It looks, sounds like a Daily Newspaper report. Doesn't sound too romantic or intimate. There's no longing, there's no Conti to a hankering, yearning Bob. Hey, he's like this, like that. Okay. Nothing, no big deal. The remainder of Jesus is another thing. Okay. That's 4 and 5, huh? Here's Prabhupada's translation. My dear Sakis, Krishna is so beautiful that Lakshmi Devi always remains on his chest and he's always adorned with a golden necklace. Beautiful Krishna plays his flute in order to enliven the hearts of many devotees. He's the only friend of the suffering living entities. Krishna plays his flute, all the cows and other animals of Vrindavan, although engaged in eating, simply take a morsel of food in their mouths and stop chewing. Their ears raise up. He becomes stunned. They do not appear alive, like everybody in this room. But like painted animals. There's an Italian animal, Indian animal, Russian animal. Krishna's flute playing is so attractive. Even animals become enchanted. What to speak of ourselves? Well, that's nice. It's something to get a little enchanted. He's going not too far enough. These are the out, not the in crowd, the out crowd. Here's the Gita Press translation. Pretty interesting. Oh, here are this strange phenomenon. Oh, delicate women. Is there Abba over there?
Yes.
Oh. When this darling of Nanda, darling of Nanda, on whose bosom, smiling with pearl necklaces, shines Goddess Lakshmi in the form of a golden light, sounds his flute, bringing delight to the afflicted people smitten with the pangs of separation from Krishna. Herds of bulls, of brush, of deer and cows in the forest stand with erect ears as though they were asleep or painted, their mind captivated by the music of the flute. Heard from a distance, and mouthfuls of grass pressed between their teeth without being swallowed. That's a roundabout way to say it. Long, many words to say a few things. Very nice change. Nice change of pace there. Let's see if we have any comments or share something. Okay, Radhe Shyam, Nitai Gaur. Shiva Swami says in text 5, the bulls and deer and cows and brudge have their minds stolen away by the playing of Krishna's flute. even though they're far away. They're biting food with their teeth, but not swallowing. Just biting their mouth again. This is very wonderful for such ignorant animals. Here Goswami says, while going towards the forest, Krishna played his flute to bring the cows together and the cowboys. But the animals became bewildered. The bulls who are being locked up in the cow pasture as Ravi Shah comes there.
What to speak of the intelligent wives of the living gods, who are the most expert practitioners of social niceties. Even the foolish animals become completely captivated by Krishna's food. Another gopi spoke, ah, this is wonderful, more amazing than the most amazing thing. Oh, we girls, from the very beginning, Krishna has stolen the strength of your chastity towards your husbands. On Krishna's cloud-like chest, effulgent with the pearl necklace resembling the row of flying cranes, flashes the golden line of Lakshmi like stationary lightning. O gopis, the sunlight of your faithfulness toward your husbands become obscured by the cloud of Krishna's chest with its lightning and flying cranes. Krishna makes you who are suffering become the object of ridicule for society. How does he do this? Krishna does this simply by vibrating his flute. When you hear the seductive song of Krishna's flute, the knots of your undergarments loosen and the knots of your and the garlands in your hair fall down. You attain the state of Unmada and become the objects of everyone's ridicule. What to speak of humans like us? Even dumb animals become stunned by the vibration of Krishna's flute. When the bulls, cows and forest animals hear the sound of Krishna's flute, they become stunned and cannot swallow the grass that they are chewing. The sound of the flute steals their minds and stops the functioning of their senses, so that they appear as if asleep. The chewed grass remains in their mouth without falling to the ground. Sanchari Bhava of Jadya becomes even stronger. They become completely immobilized and their breathing almost stops. Then rather than appearing like statues, they look like painted pictures. This gives rise to the mellow of wonder or amazement known as Adbhuta Rasa.
Okay. What kind of bhava is the Buddha? A Buddha is one of the secondary rasas called Gona Ras. A Buddha, amazing. So I mentioned one Sansari Bhava and one Gonarati. So what is the sensory bhava?
Jadya.
Jadya means what? Who is in the fifth canto?
Jadabharat.
Why is he called Jadabharat? Who is his father? Vrishabhadev. I think so.
Yes, but in first life, yes. In Jadabharat's life, he is Brahman.
So Jadabharat was, what was the characteristics of Jadabharat?
He is very hefty and...
He appeared to be dumb.
No.
He appeared to be dumb, just a big brute, big dumb brute. So what was his job?
Daddy.
Eating.
was his job?
Palanquin.
Like, you know, you guy could carry like this and King Sister. Four guys stood around the back. But Jed Barber's a great devotee. So whenever he saw that, what did he do?
He would not step on the...
He was enrolled in Shecky's ballerina school. He was walking, he walked at the tiptoe, and he'd go down, and so the valve was going, do, 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 do. And it's supposed to go like, just go, and he said, what's going on, you guys? So this big dumb guy in the back. They thought he was deaf and dumb. So Jada means stone-like. So it's a Sanchari Bob. But 33 Sanchari Bobs means to be stunned, to like stupefied. Hey guys, he's a pretty girl. He's kind of stupefied. Look at this guy. Demonstration. So who we can judge you?
And house, bears.
Jedya, stone-like. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Any questions on the verse 4 or 5? What is the word, first line, verse 4, third word, Abala, what does that mean?
Who
is it used to describe? It's kind of an ironic word, isn't it? I say it's an ironic word. They have all the power and all the strength. They're called Amala. They have the strength of beauty and the strength of speech and clever minds. So with these three things, they conquer the whole world. So the Sanskrit writers and acharyas are mostly men. So they just keep going, little humble. They say, Avala. They say, Avala? It's like calling a lion Avala. He's the king of the jungle. He walks around a tag. What's the name of the lion Avala? Avala? I always thought that was kind of funny. Everybody knows. Like we have an expression in America. It comes from the 1920s. 1920s, where women wore dresses and men wore pants. All day. Women wore dresses. They were fed. So the joke was, who, you meet a husband and wife, and you ask the guy, who's wearing the pants, who's wearing the pants in your family? You or your wife. And the wife was powerful, in charge, the husband said, he's wearing the pants, I'm wearing the dress. But now it doesn't work. It's unisex, you know. No, men wear dresses and women wear pants, you know. different kind of world. So what do you appreciate about this verse? It's very nice Sanskrit, very poetical Sanskrit. Vrindasa Raja Risha Rega Gama Veda Vajarita Tejasara Dada Dasa Kala Jita Karma. So much rhyming. Vrinda, Braja, Risha, Rega, Gava, Veda, Vajra, Danta, Dasta, Kavala, Jita, Karna, Nidrita, Likita, Chichamivasa. It's very beautiful Sanskrit. Amazingly beautiful. Some lines, they flow out like a stream of honey. Especially verse number 5. Vrindasa, Braja, Vrajasa, Veda, Vajarita, Vajasara, Tata, Dasta. So just see how the animals of Braj are so much integrated in Krishna's lila. Rodriguez told me all mouse kata. Fuck the mouse. Some Babaji mouse that moved in with her. Yeah, basically.
That's a special thing.
Yeah. It was amazing. She wrote a whole book about the mouse. It's being published by Amazon. It's called Mousecapades. The Lady and the Mouse. Famous story. So when I read this first chapter of the book, I thought the author was on LSD. We had so many visions. You know, the mouse had wings. It was flying. It was diving in the Litakut, swimming in the waves. Flying out of the cloud like a flying fish. And then circumambulating her autocracy. And every dandavats, 108 dandavats in front of each picture on an altar. And before the mouse went to sleep, he put tilak on. Radhika Tilak. And because she had so much affection for him, she made a small garland and offered to Giraj and offered to buy a garland to Mouse. That's how chapter one ends, you know. It's to work for kids and adults also. I can't wait for chapter 2. Let's call roasting. We roasted. That was great. It was the best thing I see in years. Never know the way of disciples. They come, they go, they write cool books. Amazing. Okay. So that's an amazing description of how the bulls and deer and cows are captivated by Krishna's food. They can't even eat. They're stunned, like, can't move, can't eat, can't swallow. They're just stunned just by hearing Krishna's food. Imagine when you see Krishna. What happens when devotees have first darshan of Krishna?
Faint.
Usually faint. It's sensory overload. Sensitive. What happens after that? Describe Madhurya Kalamani. Eighth shower. What's the first thing when you have darshan of Krishna, you faint? How does Krishna revive you? Then you faint again. Speaking. Voice. Huh? Then now you get revived.
Touch. And finally, leaves.
Taste.
Taste. Not okay. Waiting for the day. Practice. That's right. You guys already practiced, though. I got just some practice. Not practice. I had to go back to school. So text number 6 and 7. You will get
them. This is Aparajna Leela.
Huh?
This is Aparajna Leela. You will
get. That's your name. Yeah. That's what they said. I take some water. Thank you. 6, 5, 6 and 7. Varina Stavakatatu Palasher.
Varina Stavakatatu Palasher.
Varamala Paribaravidamba.
Varamala Paribaravidamba.
Karishit Suvala Ali Sagopair. Gasama Vayati Yatramukunda.
Gasama Vayati Yatramukunda.
Tari Bhagnagata Yasari Tovai.
Tari Bhagnagata Yasari Tovai.
Tapan Tat Padam Bhujarajo Nidanitam.
Tat Padam Bhujarajo Nidanitam.
Sri Ayatir Vayam Ivabahu Punya.
Svahayatir Vayam Ivabahu Punya.
Prema Vibhita Bhuja Stimitapa.
Prema Vibhita Bhuja Stimitapa.
Buddhist translation.
My dear Gopi, sometimes Mukunda imitates the appearance of a wrestler by decorating himself with leaves, peacock feathers and colored medals. Then, in the company of Balram and the cowherd boys, he places fruit to call the cows. At that time, the rivers stop flowing, their waters stunned by the ecstasy they feel as they eagerly wait for the wind to bring them the dust of his lotus feet. But like us, the rivers are not very pious, and thus they merely wait with their arms trembling out of love.
What is this verse? What the Gopi is describing? This verse describes a symptom of what? This verse describes the center of Mahabhav. The Mahabhav, you project human feelings on non-human objects. So when the Gopis were trembling, there's sattvic bhavas. What is trembling?
Kampa.
Kampa. Omasha Kampa Sutranga Bhaja. So they're trembling out of separation, their arms are trembling. Like when you're cold, you shake. Your body shakes, your legs may shake. It's called shivering, shivering with the cold. So their arms will tremble. So the waves, the rivers have waves. Their waves are not trembling out of love. That's the nature of rivers. But they're seeing, oh, your arms are trembling, so the waves of the river are compared to arms. Is a river is male or female?
Female.
Om Ganga, Jamuna, Godavari, Saraswati, Narmada, Sindhu, Kaveri. You know, females. So they're comparing their ecstasy. The rivers are in the same ecstasy. What is this showing? It's showing what? What is this verse showing?
They are feeling that they are not
It's showing the power of Krishna's flute. What is this called? Describe some of the power and influence of Krishna's flute. It changes the nature of things. It turns solids to liquids, liquids to solids. Another Ravan Chamba has a very fine description. When Krishna plays his flute, the swans get the river of Yamuna freezes like ice, like Russian lakes. And the male swans can't jump on the females. Their feet are frozen in the water. And they're swimming around, and Krishna plays it. The feet get frozen. And the birds, they stick their beaks in the rivers to drink water. And then they get water freeze, they get their nose stuck. They put their nose in the drink water, and the nose freezes in the ice. Can't pull their beak out. Difficult, hard time. What happens to the rocks that go around? No,
melt.
Say what?
Mineral rivers.
Silver, gold, purple, yellow, red. Really psychedelic. So this verse is describing that. What happens when Krishna plays the flute? The rocks start dancing. And the animals don't move. They get moving objects become immobile. Trees start walking. Hey, come back here, deep tree. I'm going, bye. I'm going down to Sunny's house. Hey, no, he's got nice peacocks down there. So what? Trees start walking away. Come back. Amazing, huh? Let's see what Prabhupada's translation is. Six and seven, huh? Sakis, not only living animals, but even inanimate objects like rivers and trees. Rivers and lakes of Vrindavan become stunned when Krishna passes by with peacock feathers on his head, his body smeared with the minerals of Vrindavan, with leaves and flowers decorating his body, Krishna looks like some hero. When Krishna plays his flute and calls the cows with Balaram, Virayuna is so flowing and waits for the air to carry the dust for Krishna's feet. However, Virayuna is unfortunate like us. He does not get Krishna's mercy. Virasimha remains stunned, stumbling his ways, just as we also stop crying out of frustration for Krishna. That's interesting translation. Let's see what Agita Press describes it. Whenever Mukunda and Balaram put on the garb of a wrestler, decorated with peacock feathers in their hair and tender leaves, and painted with minerals of various colors. Oh, Sucky, they call the cows by their names with the flute. The inanimate rivers stop their flow. With the arms of their ways, they try to embrace Krishna. When they fail in their attempt, they yearn for the dust of Krishna's feet, carried by the breeze. But eventually, the waters become still, as though in despair, because they have bad fortune like ourselves. That's true. Wow. In other words, the rivers stop moving. So you go and see the rivers stop moving. They're usually flowing. They hear Krishna, so they stop moving. They go and just saying they're in despair. Rivers are unhappy. So they just don't move. So they're projecting human emotions on the river. Interesting. It's a high state of consciousness. See the whole world as feeling the same way you do. She has always come to her in 6 and 7. It's a very wonderful appearance among the rivers who don't have consciousness. The rivers, when they hear Krishna's flute, their currents become broken and they try to catch the dust of Krishna's feet carried by the wind. But they cannot attain the dust of Krishna's feet because they are unfortunate like us. Now the arms of their ways of the river, are simply shivering out of love, and their water becomes motionless. This indicates also that in the eyes of the gopis there is motionless water, which means teardrops which are not falling. That's a pretty interesting idea of Shirasan. Like the rivers weren't moving, but they're full of water. Water was there, but they weren't moving. So the gopi's eyes were full of water, but it wasn't coming out. That's really an interesting vision. In other words, they're about to cry, but the tears didn't spill out yet. Eyes are full of water. That's really nice imagery. The gopi also indicates the eyes of the gopis were emotionless water, meaning the teardrops were not falling. The eyes were full of tears, they weren't falling. Jiva Goswami says, when Krishna entered the forest, he decorated himself with things from the forest. Then he went to a place quite a distance down the river where there were many ponds in order to give the cows water. They played on his foot in a special way to call the cows. But even the rivers themselves experienced a rising of special ecstasy, became bewildered. At that time, hearing Krishna's flute, the rivers understood their inability to attain Krishna. So they hankered for the wind to bring them a particle of dust of Krishna's feet. So when the wind blows, an odd summer day, they were down, it blows all kinds of dust in your face. And in your eyeballs, you usually think, oh, this is the dust of Krishna's feet. I've been hankering for this for lifetimes. Now it's coming. Accept everything that happens in Braj, we should accept it as a loving embrace of Krishna. Like I said one time, I think it's in my sweet notes, Krishna's love comes as a slap, a kiss, or a loving embrace. Sometimes Krishna's love comes as a slap, a kick, a kiss, or a loving embrace. Something like that. A slap in the face, or a loving embrace. Confirm, Mr. Birdie.
In this verse, the gopis state, what to speak of conscious beings such as the bulls and deer. Even the unconscious entities become stunned on hearing Krishna's flute. One another gopi spoke, when Mukunda is decorated with mineral powders such as red earth and leaves, peacock feather or peacock feathers and flowers, he imitates the attire of wrestlers yet mocks them with his incomparable brilliant beauty. When Krishna, Balram and the cowherd boys call the cows by name, O Kalindi, Gange, Saraswati, then rivers such as the Yamuna, Manas Ganga, Saraswati and others in Braja, even though they are unconscious, attain consciousness thinking, oh, what good fortune we have, Krishna is calling us in order to bathe and dive in our waters. Let us break our banks with strong currents and flow towards him. Though deciding in this way because of being stunned with bliss, their natural moment is checked. And their current stop flowing. The hidden implication of the phrase Bhagna Gataya is that the river's worldly progress was spoiled because of failing to attain the happiness of physical association with Krishna, and because they become the laughing stock of the other rivers. Their progress in the next life was also spoiled because of transgressing the vows of chastity to their husbands, the ocean. Just see the misfortune of these rivers. But this is to some extent good fortune also, that the rivers were hankering for the dust of Krishna's lotus feet, which was carried to them by the favorable breeze. But even after attaining it, they cannot be satisfied and desire more. Like us gopis who sometimes get Krishna's association and sometimes are deprived of it, the rivers do not have bad fortune, but have only a little good fortune. The waves of the river shake out of the love, just as our arms also tremble with prema. Though their waters become solidified because of being stunned, again they liquefy. We also experience the water in our eyes drying up and solidifying, just like one who is lighting a sacrificial fire experiences his eyes drying up from the fire. In the same way, our moments were checked by our husbands, brothers and other relatives who prevented us from meeting Krishna, and thus we have lost our goal in life. Because of being ridiculed by the general population for transgressing the rules of chastity, we have lost our fame and the chances for our fortune lives also, future lives also. Like the rivers, we also hanker for the dust from Krishna's lotus feet.
See, yeah, this has to go in here. No, not like that. This goes...
Oh, okay, understood. Like this.
Sai has a question. Okay. Any questions on this verse 6 and 7? What's the last part of the question?
Before you said that Gopis like Vrinda, Danista and Kundalata, it's possible that they speak this Yugal Gita. But what about other satis like Hindu Prabha, Kalavati, Hiranyangi, Madhurika, these other Gopis? And like they have the same mood to speak Yugal Gita or only Vrinda?
You have to see Radha Krishna go to Sivika if you can find anything. Because only certain gopis are described in some detail. Just names are there and sevas. Individual bhavas are not so much known. So I can't tell you directly. That's why I said that these are less confidential gopis. So, Dandakaranya sage is Shrutichari. Shrutichari is these type. Sadhana Siddha. I mean, commentary is showing the names exactly. But I agree with you. Based on Vishnu's commentary. I thought it's interesting, one thing to note, that Krishna, he's the son of a king. His father has so much opulence, gold and diamonds and jewels. But Krishna doesn't like the nice dirt. Dirt and feathers and seeds and flowers from the forest. He said he decorates himself with leaves, peacock feathers, and rock powder. That's what verse 6 and 7 are describing. There's no Aishwarya in Braj. No Aishwarya. It's pure Madhurya. Clothing, peacock feather. That guy, Mike Govardhan Srila, was in Radhavara temple for 200 years. He was given to one Babaji, Gadadhar Das Baba. Then later he was given to Parvat Swami. And Parvat Swami gave him to me. So Gadadhar Das Baba came to see my Giriraj. And I just had a peacock feather on my Giriraj. He said, "Where is his Mukut? He's Giriraj, he's a king." I said, "I just see him with a top knot, of feather inside. Peacock feather, that's enough." "No, he got my king." So I have my Mukut and stuff. I followed his Bob for about 10 years. I gave away all the, I have 4 or 5 Mukuts. I gave away. Some ladies started making turbans. Turban and peacock feather. So then I, so he wears that sometimes. When it's hot, he doesn't wear anything. So the peacock feather. So Krishna likes simplicity. Like your simple dress, simple talk, simple work, simple play. Everything's very simple, not complicated. He just walks around with a flute, plays the flute here and there. So. Let's do takes 8 through 11. I don't know. 8 through 11. I was already. Come outside, come in the fan. The fan. Really want water. Going to the kitchen, get 2 cups of cold water from there. Say, oh, man. Say, sure. Say, senior fan. So we're doing verse 8 through 11 now. We're going to use some water. Cold water. And go follow us doing it. Water's there. Clay pot. Nice and hot, huh? Want a chair? Want a chair? Take some water. On the trees, Samandhu Vani Taviriya, Adi Purusha Yvatsa Bhuti, Vanatro Giri Tatesha Charantir, Vedana Vyatika Siyadahi. It's a long verse. Vada Tastara Ivani Vishnu, Yan Jayantya Eva Pushma Paladya Pranata Bharavitava Bhadavara Prayarishatara Bhavishishma Darshaniya Tilaka Bhadamala Divyaganda Tosi Madhamatai Ali Kulera Alagu Gita Mavisham Ajayan Yari Sandita Venu Sarasi Sarasa Ansa Vihagas Charakita Rita Chaitanya Aitya Arema Pasita Yeta Chitta Atamilita Jisho Jita Mana. Read his translation.
Krishna moves about the forest.
Jersey.
Krishna moves about the forest in the company of his friends who vividly chant the glories of his magnificent deeds. He thus appears just like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, exhibiting his inexhaustible opulences. When the cows wander onto the mountain sides and Krishna calls out to them with the sound of his flute, the trees and creepers in the forest respond to by becoming so luxuriant with fruits and flowers that they seem to be manifesting Lord Vishnu within their hearts. As their branches bend low with the weight, the filaments on their trunks and vines stand erect out of ecstasy of love of God, and both the trees and the creepers pour down a rain of sweet sap. Maddened by the divine honey-like aroma of the tulsi flowers on the garland Krishna wears, swarms of bees sing loudly for him, and that most beautiful of all persons thankfully acknowledges and acclaims their song by taking his flute to his lips and playing it. The charming flute song then steals away the minds of the cranes, swans and other lake-dwelling birds. Indeed, they approach Krishna, close their eyes, and maintaining strict silence, worship him by fixing their consciousness upon him in deep meditation.
A lot of verses. Let's see another translation here. By Prabhupada's translation. That's 8 through 12?
11.
Okay, read it. This is 8, 9, 10, 11.
In the absence of Krishna, the gopis were constantly shedding tears. But sometimes, when they expected that Krishna was coming, they would stop crying. But when they saw that Krishna was not coming, then again they would become frustrated and begin to cry. Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, the origin of all Vishnu forms, and the cowherd boys are all demigods. Lord Vishnu is always worshipped and surrounded by different demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, Chandra and others. When Krishna travelled through the Vrindavan forest or walked on the Govardhan hill, he was accompanied by the cowherd boys. While walking, he played his flute just to call his cows. Just by his association, the trees, plants and other vegetation in the forest immediately became Krishna conscious. A Krishna conscious person sacrifices everything for Krishna. Although trees and plants are not very advanced in consciousness, by the association of Krishna and his friends, they also become Krishna conscious. They then want to deliver everything, whatever they have, their fruits, flowers and honey incessantly falling from their branches. When Krishna walked on the bank of Yamuna, he was seen nicely decorated with tilak on his head. He was garlanded with different kinds of forest flowers, and his body was smeared by the pulp of sandalwood and tulsi leaves. The bumblebees became mad after the treasure and sweet nectar of the atmosphere. Being pleased by the humming sound of the bees, Krishna would play his flute. And together the sound became so sweet to hear that the aquatics, the cranes, swans and ducks and other birds were charmed. Instead of swimming or flying, they became stunned. They closed their eyes and entered a trance of meditation in worship of Krishna.
So can you see it? It's a picture painted with words. Shukadeva Goswami has painted a picture. This is Yoga Gita. Chapter 35, the 10th canto. The gopis were glorifying Krishna, playing his flute in the forest. They're trying to give us a vision of this. Because when we read Shastra, we're supposed to hear with our ears and see with our eyes or our heart, to see this actual sight that's being described here. Very beautiful picture of Krishna with the cows, the cowherd boys, how he's decorated, how beautiful he is. Because you know, Shastras are showing us the spiritual world. But the only way we can see the spiritual world is by very attentively hearing. It's described that when Shukadeva Goswami spoke the Bhagavatam at Shukratal to Pariksha Maharaj, there were thousands of sages there. Everyone was hearing with complete absorption and attention. So it's very hard to be concentrated and fixed on subject matter. But Shastras demand that we have to meditate to actually enter into Shastra, we have to have the power to concentrate and to meditate. That's why so much emphasis is given on purifying the mind so the mind can be peaceful I peacefully listen and try to enter into the description and experience the feelings and deals being described in the Shastra. Can you read Vishwas' commentary?
It is natural that the rivers should react in this way because, although they are unconscious, they are eternally perfect beings in the form of demigods. But just see how even the most dull entities like trees, who have taken the most dull, who have taken a low birth due to their previous karma, release transcendental mellows from hearing Krishna's flute. In this way, another group of gopis spoke. Although Krishna is endowed with unchanging opulence, similar to Narayana, nonetheless he wanders through the forest with his cowherd boyfriends because of his affection for the living entities dwelling there. At that time, just as household Vaishnavas and their wives become ecstatic when they hear a Sankirtana party approaching and offering obeisances, similarly, the creepers of the forest who are female and the trees who are their husbands bowed low with their branches and vines, as if revealing Lord Vishnu within their minds. They weep abundant tears in the form of streams of honey. The tears, trees appeared beautiful, rich with flowers and fruits. The flowers represent the Sanchari Bhav of joy, and the fruits represent the Sthayi Bhav called Prati. Their completely bent branches indicate the Anubhava of paying obeisances. The statement that the filaments on their trunks and vines stand erect out of ecstatic love indicates the Sattvika Bhava of Romancha. After describing the Vaishnava status of the trees and the creepers, like that of Grihastha devotees who are still attached to the pleasures of household life, the gopis describe the swans and cranes as self-satisfied sages, Atma Ramas, worshipping Vishnu upon hearing his flute. Krishna wore attractive tilak markings made from red mineral clays. The phrase can also mean that Krishna is like the tilaka of all extremely beautiful persons worth seeing. Krishna wore a Vaijayanti flower garland with flowers of five different colors interspersed with divinely fragrant tulasi, whose honey was sought by greedy bees humming loudly due to intoxication. There may be an objection. Usually lotus, jasmine and Nagakesara flowers are described as fragrant by ordinary people. Though the glories of tulasi are much greater, she is not normally considered an especially fragrant plant. The objection is answered as follows. Ordinary people cannot perceive tulasi's fragrance, but early in the morning, spiritually advanced persons can experience her fragrance as greater than that of the lotus. The bees who are privileged to swarm about the flower garlands on Krishna's neck certainly appreciate this fragrance. Actually, the most sublime fragrance of tulasi is only fully appreciable to the super excellent and most perfect sense of smell of Krishna himself. By the covering of Yogamaya, tulasi's fragrance cannot be appreciated by anyone else. The Bhagavatam explains that the most fragrant plants in Vaikuntha also appreciate the special qualification of Tulasi Devi. Although flowering plants like the Mandara, Kunda, Kurabaka, Utpala, Champaka, Arna, Punaga, Nagakeshara, Bakula, Lily and Parijata are full of transcendental fragrance, they are still conscious of the austerities performed by Tulasi, and Tulasi is given the special preference by the Lord who garlands himself with Tulasi leaves. The word Abhishtam indicates that when Krishna thought about what pitch he would play on this flute, the bees would buzz and Krishna would thankfully acknowledge them. Excellent, excellent, my dear bees. I see this is the correct note, and play his flute according to that pitch. The word Sandhita Venu means that the Sri Krishna placed his flute firmly upon his lips. The melody emanating from that flute was certainly the most enchanting of sounds, as the gopis described in this chapter. Hearing that sweet song, the water birds left the lakes, approached Krishna and worshipped the Lord by looking at him, listening and meditating on him. The phrase Milita Drusha, they closed their eyes, indicates the birds were absorbed in the rapture of relishing rasa. Closing one's eyes due to relishing transcendental mellows is an anubhava, a sign of ecstatic love for Krishna.
Wow. There's a prayer for Skanda Purana that Krishna offered to Tulsi. It says, Pushasar Tulasi, Vishwapavana, Vishwapurja, Vrindavadavani, says Tulasi, the essence of all flowers, Pushasar Tulasi. And it says that she's worshipped all the universe, Vishwapurja, Vishwapavita. She purifies the universe and she's worshipped all the universe. Brinda Vrindavani, and she saw Vrindavan, Tulsi's growing. So it says that Krishna doesn't accept a garland without Tulsi on it. In the old days of Vrindavan, whenever you visit Bhanga Bihari temple, or Radhavallabha temple, or Radharaman, any ancient temple of Vrindavan, where they're selling flower mallas, the flower mallas always give you a mala with Tulsi. They put Tulsi on. Because if you go to Pachari, they order just a mala, there's no Tulsi. Pachari say, take it back. Because Krishna, they can't offer a mala to Krishna without Tulsi on. This is a niyam. There's verse in the Bhagavatam, also Rasa chapter, says Tulsi Manjaris are tied into the mala. So when you make a mala, there should be some Tulsi leaves or Tulsi Manjaris tied into it. Live and learn. She makes malas, but she doesn't put Tulsi inside. Nowadays, for convenience, or for modern speed or convenience, they don't put Tulsi in with a mala. First time I came to Vrindavan was 1977. From 77 until 2005 or 10, they always put Tulsi in a mala. Now, they don't do it. But this was a Shastra Niyam. Pujaris were very strict also. Everything is devolved, they call yuga. Pujaris, okay. They say, hey, God, give me some money, give me God. But before you go in with a mala, you have a pata with a mala, and they say, hey, where's the Tulsi? They give it back to you. Bhagavad Gita, Radha. So this whole verse here, these four verses, are describing the great glories of Tulsi. It has a transcendental fragrance. He said most people can't smell the fragrance of Tulsi. You have to have a spiritual nose. Tulsi is very fragrant. So Tulsi, of course, is very dear to Krishna. What's the story of the Kumaras? They're Brahmaganis. The Chaturs Kumar, the four Kumaras were Brahmaganis. They weren't Vaishnavas. But they went to visit Vishnu at Vaikuntha, and he smelled the Tulsi on his feet. And it was so intoxicating, they gave up Brahmagan and became Bhaktas. So just by fragrance. See how powerful fragrance is. The Tulsi has a lot of power. If someone is wearing Tulsi and they die, they don't go to Yamaloka. It's an insurance policy. It's no Yamaloka. The Tulsi is very special. What's the time now?
4:30.
Okay, let's do some more. It's hard, but it's what to do. That's the way it goes. This is called Yuga Gita, pairs of verses spoken by gopis in different places, different times, in separation from Krishna. A verse.
Well,
so go in to read the Sanskrit. Read the translation.
O goddess of Vraja.
O Vraja Devi.
O Vraja Devi. When Krishna is enjoying himself with Balaram on the mountain slopes, playfully wearing a flower garland on the top of his head, he engladdens all with the resonant vibrations of his flute. Thus he delights the entire world. At that time, the nearby cloud, afraid of offending a great personality, thunders very gently in accompaniment. The cloud showers flowers onto his dear friend Krishna and shades him from the sun like an umbrella.
Why is Krishna wearing a garland on his head? So he's wearing a flower ball on top of his head. Why did he do that? Shut up. No. Or? To show his charming nature, his artistic flair. He dug the motto. The Chitra Dugdi, the artistic. Usually mollas around the neck. Just to be different. Some people are like that.
That attracts everyone.
It attracts himself. That's automatic, everything attracts the Krishna. It's just for his own fun. Look at me, I'm different. Being blue is not enough. His brother is white. The sheet of his golden color. He's the only blue guy.